Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. We are live from downtown Milwaukee. Calvin is back in Waukesha running the board, and you can always join us as well at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Very, very busy show for you today. Obviously, after the attempted assassination attempt of the former president over the weekend during a rally in Pennsylvania, the tone is a little bit different. And I would really like folks to understand that civic media unequivocally stands for solving disagreements with words, not violence. And we encourage you to use your ballots in order to make changes. If you are, you have firm convictions about things, you have firm feelings about politics, we understand that. We do too.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ballot box is the way to go.
Yep.
Violence is not the answer. Violence is never the answer. What happened over the weekend was absolutely horrific. And our hearts and prayers go out to the family of the man who was killed,
mm-hmm.
who was a firefighter. There are two other gentlemen who are also injured, who I believe now are in stable condition. And, of course, the former president was wounded in the ear. But he is here in Milwaukee and will be making an appearance later on, I believe, today at the RNC, which you can see is right behind us. Fiserv Forum is right behind us here in downtown Milwaukee. There was breaking news just as we were coming on the air this morning. U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida Judge Eileen Cannon has now tossed the stolen government document case against the former president. According to Politico's Kyle Cheney, Judge Cannon dismissing the Trump docs case, citing violation of the Appointments Clause. Cannon says Jack Smith's appointment usurps legislative power. So all of the documents that were taken to Mar-a-Lago, I think a lot of us have seen photos of mm-hmm. these boxes of documents in various what looked like unsecured places around Mar-a-Lago. But now Eileen Cannon has ruled that Jack Smith was not properly appointed, and therefore this documents case is over. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is joining us on Wednesday to talk about the recent Supreme Court decisions overturning the Chevron doctrine, as well as essentially giving the former president and all presidents going forward almost complete immunity. We will ask Jim Santel to break this down a little bit more when he joins us this coming Wednesday at 10:33. But as we mentioned, after the horrific attempted assassination of the former president over the weekend, the RNC is still getting underway here in downtown Milwaukee, and we will be here all week long. Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. will be broadcasting as well. Maggie Dawn is going to be here too, so you can stick with us. And certainly go to our website at civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us/RNC. And we have all kinds of coverage from all of the shows all across the network if you would like to stay in touch while the whole event is going on this week.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very hot today.
Yes.
If you are coming down here, please, and we harp about this a lot.
Yes.
But it's not a joke. Stay hydrated, drink lots of water, and just try not to exert yourself so much. With the security perimeter here in downtown Milwaukee, if you're planning on coming and you're going to drive, you're probably going to have to walk quite a ways. Even if you take the bus, you're going to have to walk quite a ways. So just keep that in mind. Make sure you're wearing shoes.
Comfy shoes,
and again, make sure that you drink lots and lots of water.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week.
Okay.
We talked about vending machines with bullets.
Yeah.
And I think one of the many discussions that have come out after what happened over the weekend in Pennsylvania at that rally is the easy access to high-powered weapons.
Yes.
And that brings us right back here to downtown Milwaukee, where, again, weapons are not allowed within the security perimeter of the RNC. They are allowed outside of that.
Yes.
Because of a statewide rule that supersedes local municipalities from enacting more gun restrictions.
I don't even know. I don't want to say what happened on Saturday, everything you said, by the way, at the top of the show, I agree with. It's about going to the ballot. It's about being peaceful in this time, saying what you believe. and be passionate about it too. But with what happened on Saturday, you think it would just make sense to even further tighten the security to what would have been a manageable idea of not having guns in certain areas around this facility. So the fact that it's still happening and no one seems to be upset about it is very upsetting for me.
Well, I don't know that no one is upset about it. I think many people are upset about it, but it's the inability to take any action about it. I'm reciting this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Guns are not allowed inside Pfizer Forum or other buildings where RNC events are happening or in the hard perimeter around the convention. That's where credentials are needed to get in. Most guns will not be banned in the area immediately outside of the RNC perimeter, which is known as the security footprint, because the city is prevented by state law from enacting such a ban. Now, there was one Milwaukee alderman, Bob Bauman, I believe, who wanted to see this restriction on weapons expanded to outside of the security perimeter, and that did not go anywhere. No. And again, even the city attorney, Evan Goyke, says Wisconsin law prevents the city of Milwaukee and all local governments from prohibiting the possession or carry of legal firearms. A Milwaukee alderman, as I mentioned in the lead up to the convention, sought to ban guns within the footprint after the city ordinance allows most firearms but prohibit typically innocuous items. So you can't bring tennis balls.
Nope.
You can't bring water bottles. You can't, which can be thrown and used as a projectile. So I understand that. But I don't understand the banning of tennis balls when we're not going to ban guns.
I don't either. I mean, at this point, too, like, and when I said no one's upset, I think what I meant was the people who are in power of this event are not upset enough, or at least in, they looked at Saturday and said, no, we need to tighten up security. No guns, no nothing is allowed. It's going to be even more secure than we planned on it 72 hours ago. And I'd even heard about, you know, President Biden had said he is going to be working with Secret Service here in Milwaukee, making sure his people know that to tighten up as much as possible here in Milwaukee, make sure that everyone is safe. But there's that lingering feeling of, yes, you can do that, and I'm glad they are. I'm glad they're all working together. But if we're allowing weapons like guns near it, that still makes it feel unsafe. Anyone can have it. Anyone can have one. Walking around that area and things get heated,
I see this as a recipe for disaster.
Yes, absolutely.
I do.
Yes.
And especially hot weather plays a role in people's tempers and people's short fuses. It's going to be very, very hot today, dangerously hot. This is where we are, however.
Yes.
These efforts to try and clamp down on some of these, it's too late. Here we are. As we mentioned, Alderman Bob Bauman had argued the state law wasn't written with an event like the RNC in mind. And I would agree with him on that.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Here we are.
Another Milwaukee alderman's proposals to prohibit bump stocks in the city and increase penalties for disorderly conduct while armed with a dangerous weapon also failed to move forward. The bump stock proposal was determined to be illegal under state law by the city attorney's office. The disorderly conduct proposal held in council after a lengthy discussion. In Wisconsin, as like under federal law, convicted felons can't own guns. People under certain types of court orders related to mental health and addiction are also banned from possessing guns in Wisconsin, as well as people under certain types of restraining orders related to abuse or harassment. But as we talked about in the past as well, Greg, everybody's a good guy with a gun until they're not.
And how many times have we heard about these situations when, like, yeah, it seems like every time there's a tragedy that we're hearing about in the news, it's always followed by, and they obtained the gun legally.
Yes.
And so there's not, I mean.
Which is apparently, and again, there are a lot of things we don't know about this gunman who was shot and killed on Saturday. We know he's a 20-year-old guy.
Mm-hmm.
He reportedly, up to this point, got the gun from his father who had purchased it legally.
Yeah. And I think you said it best. They're all good guys with a gun until
unfortunately. Robert from McFarland on the text line listening on WRCE. A talking head yesterday said Governor Evers should declare an emergency to void the provision of the ability to carry guns outside the perimeter of the convention. Is that possible under state law? I don't know that, Robert. We will. That's certainly a question we can ask Jim Santel. And that also might be a question for Maggie Dawn, who they are both actual attorneys. Greg and I, as we've mentioned before, we're only attorney adjacent. So that's certainly a valid question. At this point, though, again, we're in day one. It's here for 4 days.
Yeah, and
the RNC is here until Thursday.
And we hope everything goes safely. We want everything to go safely.
Absolutely.
We want everyone to, you know, have the time they want to have while they're down here. And I think, you know, we've said it before, if you don't need to be down here, just don't be down here.
Well, it is after I was at the farmer's market on Saturday in Waukesha, I came down just to see where we were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, once you get to a certain place, you can't get out.
Yeah.
You can't go west. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the east side of FISERV, once you're on the east side, you have to go either really far north or really far south in order to go west because everything else is closed.
Ugh.
So, yeah, if you don't have to be around here, like many residents who live around here, they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But you can avoid this if you so choose. We are going to talk about some of the speakers who are lined up for the RNC this week. I hope you will stay with us. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James says.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. You can see FISERV Forum behind us here. Callan is back in Waukesha running the board. Thank you for joining us. If you want to join the show, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. There was breaking news just as we came on the air this morning, in case you missed it. Florida Judge Eileen Cannon has tossed the stolen documents case against Donald Trump just hours before the RNC got away. Judge Cannon dismissing the docs case, citing a violation of appointments clause. Cannon says Jack Smith's appointment usurps legislative power. We're going to be talking about this. Jim Santel, former U.S. prosecutor, is going to be joining us on Wednesday at 10:33. So we will ask him to take a look at this as well. We are not lawyers, so we talk to people who actually know what they're talking about.
You should have T-shirts that say lawyer adjacent.
Lawyer adjacent. We did have a text come in. Mike from Green Bay listening on WGBW. Jane and Greg, can you tell me what conservative fact check group is blocking all Facebook Project 2025 talking points? That's very interesting, Mike.
Oh,
I don't know who that group is. We'll see what we can find out. And we are going to continue to talk about Project 2025.
There will be no stopping this discussion. And I'm now seeing billboards. I'm seeing posts on social media taking little pieces out, going right to the page where you can see what Project 2025 is set out to do. And this is not an exaggeration. It's not hyperbole. It's not something to be like, whatever. This is a 900-page document put together to reshape the fabric of this country. And we please, please, please want you to become familiar with this and talk to people and understand that it really doesn't matter who you vote for in this process. That will change the lives of everyone.
And we've talked about this numerous times. We have more guests who are going to be coming up in the next couple of months to talk about varying aspects of Project 2025. We certainly have talked about what it would mean if any administration is allowed to come in and fire 50,000 civil servants who have worked across administrations, who essentially would no longer be independent actors. They would have to declare themselves as loyalists in order to work in the IRS office or as a secretary for the, you know, Health and Human Services. There's just all kinds of these lower level positions that really should not be political.
Correct. I mean, the idea that someone who wants to work in weather at NOAA has to swear allegiance to say, well, whatever everything I went to school for is out the window. It's whomever's in the Oval Office, that is who is correct. Not the weather and science, but the person in the room. That's frightening, because it just, that is the reason why people can complain about government and how big it is, but it's big for a reason, because we need experts and we need people out there who are doing the work, who work 3-4 decades in this business over many presidents.
Yes.
Because their only job, their only goal is to provide the best information possible.
Exactly. And if you missed it, and I think this is very important that we keep repeating this, because obviously what happened over the weekend in Pennsylvania with the attempted assassination attempt on former President Trump is horrific and has no place in our politics or in our country. Civic media unequivocally stands for solving disagreements with words, not violence. It's use your ballots. Go to the ballot box. If you are unhappy with the way things are, then organize. Join a group. Join some get out the vote efforts. Join a group that just wants to educate people about some of the issues that are going to be coming up in November, after November 5th.
That's the ultimate solution, is be a part of the conversation.
Yes, be part of the conversation. We're going to look real briefly at some of these speakers, long list of speakers that are going to be at the RNC, and some of them are not a surprise. Of course, Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, Kimberly Guilfoyle will be among them. We have Tucker Carlson.
Boom!
Franklin Graham.
Oh!
Savannah Chrisley, TV personality and criminal justice reform advocate. I had to look her up.
The only reason why I know that last name is because they had a show called, I think it's called Chrisley Knows Best. And
yes.
I watched a trailer of it. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, they're weird.
Well, and they essentially, her parents are in prison.
Oh, is that why she's about prison reform?
I believe that is why she is about criminal justice reform, because her parents went to prison for either fraud or embezzlement or something. So she will be one of the featured speakers at the RNC. Alina Habba, of course, Trump campaign senior advisor. We've seen her a lot over the months defending the former president.
Yeah.
Here's one that kind of stood out to me. Diane Hendricks.
Oh, Jane, that name rings a memory.
Diane Hendricks, the owner of ABC Supply. You may remember, this is going back a ways.
Yeah.
When Scott Walker was governor, running for governor, he and Diane Hendricks were caught having this little exchange. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
Any chance we'll ever get to be a completely red state and work on these unions?
Oh, yeah.
And become a right to work?
Well, in fact, the big thing...
What can we do to help you?
Well, we're going to start in a couple weeks with our budget adjustment bill. The first step is we're going to deal with collective bargaining for all public employee unions.
Right.
Because you divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah. In all that whispering, you heard exactly. Divide and conquer. How do we become a red state? How do we become a right to work state? And by the way,
how do we break the unions?
How do we that was the other thing. We're, you know, work on the unions, not working on to make them better or more secure or more powerful.
Protecting workers.
Destroying them. And let's also remember too, Diane Hendricks, it was in that video was done in 2011, a $500,000 donor to the Scott Walker campaign. Just the way, and if you watch it, there's like, can you come here, Gregor? How are we going to destroy Wisconsin?
I just have to think, if you're Scott Walker, aren't you a little hurt that he didn't get it? He's not one of the speakers, but Diane Hendricks is.
Yeah.
Is that not a little slap?
Scott, are you around? I'll give you a hug. And also, I feel like it's weird. You're going to have the kids and the on the first night. I mean, I know it's Don Jr. and Eric, and you're probably going to wait for Ivanka for tomorrow. But I feel like you sprinkle the kids out. Like, tonight's Eric.
Eric. Yeah.
And then tomorrow's Kim and maybe Don
together.
And then
Don and then Yvonne. You think Yvonne?
Yeah.
She's not on the list. We'll see if she actually shows up.
Who knows what she'll show up as.
Yep, absolutely. All right, when we return, news is coming up next. Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch is going to join us talking about an extreme anti-abortionist who has worked his way into Republican politics. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from downtown Milwaukee. You can see Fiserv Forum right behind us here. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, you can leave a comment there as well. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we have Sweet Cal B back in Waukesha handling the board for us. And excited to be joined by our next guest. We've talked to her before. It's been quite a while. Phoebe Petrovic is here. She is with Wisconsin Watch and kind of did this article in conjunction with ProPublica. Good morning, Phoebe. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for wrangling your cat away. I understand your cat likes to be on camera. So sorry we couldn't accommodate your cat today. Maybe we'll do that another time. But I wanted to talk about your article that appeared in WPR, The Gospel of Matthew Trohela, How a Militant Anti-Abortion Activist is Influencing Republican Politics. The Wisconsin pastor was once a political pariah. Now his book is being quoted by politicians and former Trump officials. One activist is using it to disrupt elections. Now, Phoebe, you have reported on Matthew Trohela for quite some time, haven't you?
Yeah, this particular story took about 7 months, and he's been on my radar since October of 2022. Like in August of last year, I pitched the story to folks at Wisconsin Watch, and they were like, no, I don't think it's a story. So I took it to ProPublica, and to everyone's credit, Wisconsin Watch, you know, they've all come around and said that we were wrong. This was a story. But so this has been in my head for a while, and it took about 7 months to get it together.
We'll get back to what happened in 2022 that prompted you to start following him a little bit. But Matthew Trohela's anti-abortion activism goes back much, much further than this, much further than the 2000s. This goes back to when, and I'm sorry, but when anti-abortion doctors were getting, doctors providing abortions were getting killed. And Matthew Trohela seemed to think that that was not a bad thing.
So Trohela has been active since the 90s, and made himself an anti-abortion, had an anti-abortion reputation. Sorry, I'm getting feedback. So he's been active since the 90s. He was active in the so-called rescue movement, which was when activists would blockade clinics to prevent people from getting the healthcare that they needed. He led a group called the Missionaries to the Preborn, which was known for some pretty radical protests where they would take cars and park them in front of clinics and then chain themselves to the cars. Yeah, really well known for that. And he signed on to a document called the Defensive Action Statement back in 1994 or so, that was issued in response to someone shooting and killing an abortion provider. And they said that this was this lethal force was, quote unquote, justifiable. And that is something that Turrell signed on to.
So then in 2022, Phoebe, now, and I want to reiterate it as well, that was not a necessarily popular and widespread opinion that these doctors who provided abortions for women deserve to die. I don't believe that that was a widespread opinion at the time. But he that kind of made Matthew Trujillo a bit of a pariah to some of the more standard conservative groups. But that seems to have changed considerably. That he is being welcomed now by more mainstream Republican groups.
Since he did not have.
Are you feedback, Phoebe?
Oops, sorry, there's a delay here. We're all working as hard as we can to go have this off without a hitch while both of us have a delay. So sorry for speaking over you. Yep, Trella was the extreme figure on the fringe. Someone who was in the rescue movement told me that he would have been viewed by Republicans as radical, and they would have kept him at arm's reach. He really had little to no mainstream support from Republicans. Major chapters of the Right to Life group, the anti-abortion group, distanced themselves from him. They criticized his actions. I spoke to a Waukesha County sheriff who was in office from 1994 to 2002. And he said that the Waukesha County Republican Party would have never invited Turrella to any event back then because he was just seen as too extreme, too fringe. Fast forward to 2013, he writes this book that says that government officials have a God-given right and duty to defy higher laws that contradict God's law. And this came out right around the time of the Tea Party. Shortly thereafter, Trump got elected. There was the rise of the MAGA movement. And politics have shifted so far right that today in 2024, he's been embraced by Republicans across the country and from all levels. So in our reporting, we saw people who had kind of as local of a position as school board, all the way up to former Trump officials who were citing him and talking about him. One of the most vibrant examples to me is the Waukesha County Republican Party, which the RNC is in Milwaukee this week. That's where you're broadcasting from. Waukesha is seen as the heart of Republican politics in Wisconsin. It is the headquarters. Many folks will have their campaigns from Waukesha because it reliably issues votes. It turns out, the greatest number of votes for Republicans. And the Waukesha County Republican Party has had Turrella to speak twice, including once to local candidates. That's the only book they promote on their website. And when Turrella was there talking to them, he said in January of 2023 that county officials might need to do things that they're not authorized to do, including secede from the union. This is not kind of like a backwater group. This is the Waukesha County Republican Party that was kind of embracing him in this way.
Go back to his book, Phoebe, that you mentioned, the 2013 book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. So this relies on a theory developed by 16th century Calvinists looking for holy justification for fighting political oppression Among the religious wars of the Protestant Reformation, Trujillo has applied this to today's politics, writing that government officials have a divine right and duty to defy any laws, policies, or court opinions that violates the rule of law. You don't mention this in your reporting, in your story, but it just seems to me like this ties in very easily with what we're hearing about Christian nationalism and kind of the growing Christian nationalist movement.
Yeah, you're totally on the money there. One of the reasons why we tried to avoid that term in the actual article is because there is some debate among scholars as to the definition, and it means different things depending on whether you're basing it on empirical studies or ethnographic studies or things like that. But it absolutely ties in and fits in with this. Trujillo is a Christian supremacist and someone who believes that theocracy is necessary, that the laws of the nation should reflect the laws and justice of God. That's a whole section of his book by that title. And so for Trujillo, everything comes back to God's law and how the laws of the nation need to reflect and comport with that. So this is right on the money, right in line with Christian nationalists. One of the things we actually cut out from the story is that there's a former Trump administration official, low-level Trump administration official by the name of William Wolf, who's a self-described Christian nationalist. One of the authors of Project 2025 is... has tweeted that he is working with William Wolf on scoping out a sound Christian nationalism. And this person, William Wolf, has cited Trujillo's book. And he cited it in a blog post where he was lauding the actions of Governor Greg Abbott when he had his standoff with the federal government over a border policy. And William Wolf wrote that he was that Abbott was, you know, fulfilling his duty as a godly lesser magistrate. And so it all sort of ties in to that. And one of the things we were trying to get across in our story is that the theocracy that Trujillo envisions is very extreme. And, you know, that sort of the extent to which his beliefs are outside of the mainstream and experts say would subjugate women, people of color, LGBTQ people, is something that we have to keep at the forefront when we're talking about this. This isn't sort of just anodyne, we love our nation and we love God. This is something that would be kind of enforced in the laws.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, Phoebe, it's pretty extreme. I mean, this means outlawing abortion, all abortions, all same-sex marriages, violently resisting the government if necessary, and noting in his book that there are times when men, quote, must redden their swords, unquote. We've heard this now from Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri, who said this within the last 2 weeks. I am a Christian nationalist. I am proud to be a Christian nationalist. And I think this country should be a Christian nationalist country. I don't know that most Americans would agree with that.
I would like to think not.
And I also think, too, Phoebe, it's interesting that he has for a long time tried to portray himself as kind of a benign force. I'm married. We have 11 children that we've homeschooled, and I'm this nice, you know, man. But again, he is espousing some pretty extreme policies in this book. The Masterful Blueprint, Showing Americans How to Successfully Resist Tyranny.
Yeah, so that was one of the things that I found really interesting while reporting, because I spent a lot of time listening to his presentations and his sermons, the ones that he gave publicly, like to broader groups, to these events where he would kind of go on the speaking circuit, and then the ones where they were still public because he posted them online, but his sermons to his congregation, so a flock of people who follow him specifically, and he really modulated his appearance and his presentation. So he would be very gracious to the women who were elected in party leadership or elected office, when they would introduce him at these events. And then he would go on to his sermon to tell his congregation that women in government is sickening and perverse and a sign of God's judgment upon the nation. And so one of the things we tried to do with this story is listen so that the public didn't have to say, hey, this is what he's saying behind closed doors, so to speak, so that we can connect the two together, because there isn't, that separation is just about appearances and presentation, and it's important to hear, pay attention to what people are saying behind the scenes.
Phoebe Petrovic is our guest. We're talking about an article she has in WPR, and we will include this in the show notes. Once the show is over, The Gospel of Matthew Trujillo, How a Militant Anti-Abortion Activist is Influencing GOP Politics. We will continue our conversation after a very short break. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair On Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair On Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming to you live from a breezy downtown Milwaukee. You can see Fiserv Forum, the site for the RNC going on this week in downtown Milwaukee, is behind us. Calvin back at the studio. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to have our guest here. Phoebe Petrovic is with Wisconsin Watch, posted an article on Wisconsin Public Radio, the gospel of Matthew Trujillo, How a Militant Anti-Abortion Activist is Influencing Republican Politics. And as we said when we started off, Phoebe, that initially Matthew Trujillo was in a very extreme anti-abortionist, kind of applauding abortion, providing doctors who had been murdered. He was kind of a pariah with a traditional Republican Party politics. That has absolutely changed and now seems to have established a relationship with the Waukesha Republican Party. And that goes back to 2022 that you had mentioned, when he first kind of landed on your radar with something that happened in 2022. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So back in 2022, I was working on a story about sort of the anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ moral panic that was kind of sweeping up. This was kind of the beginning of parents' rights and concerns about children being rushed through transition and stuff like that. And a self-proclaimed Christo-fascist named Matt Walsh had come to UW-Madison to share his film that he had made called What is a Woman? And there was a lot of protests and counter-protests there. And one of the groups that came to sort of counter-protest against the pro-LGBTQ folks was Matthew Trujillo's church, Mercy Seat Christian Church. And if you remember from that time, there was an altercation between these two factions of protesters where one of the pro-LGBTQ folks ended up ripping up one of Matt Chiarella's followers' Bibles. And it got a significant amount of international attention because obviously it was a very dramatic thing visually and for it to happen in general. And so I was one of the only reporters who went up to them from where they were standing across the way and said, "Hey, who are you? Where are you from? What are you about?" And began to hear more about that they were with Mercy Seat Christian Church. They were expressing Dominionist views, which is a form of Christian supremacy ideology that says that God's kingdom needs, Jesus Christ's kingdom needs to be built on earth and should affect every aspect of life. And I did a little bit more digging into who this church was, had noticed that one of the men who was there, second in command at the church, had filmed himself on the scaffolding of the U.S. Capitol in at the January 6th insurrection, and that their leader, Matt Chiarella, had this really interesting, alarming past. And so as the year progressed, this group became more and more focused on LGBTQ issues and protesting LGBTQ events. And there just was this coverage that was sort of sporadic, kind of mentioning them, oh, these are these protesters, as if they were kind of, you know, normal folks without a backstory. And I felt that the public needed to understand who they were, what they were coming from, where they were coming from. And then, of course, there was this whole broader story that I came across where he was traveling the country promoting this religious doctrine.
It's a terrific article, Phoebe. It really is. And it obviously shows that you've been working on it for months and months, yeah, and months, because it's very, very detailed. We are so fortunate to have reporters and to have outlets that allow investigative journalists to do this kind of work, because it's critically important that people understand what's going on right in their own backyards, things they may not even imagine, could not imagine happening. I keep going back to this paragraph in your article where Chiarella is gracious to the women who introduce him at political events, but when he's sermonizing to his congregation, women and government are sickening and perverse. I just don't know how that squares with women in his congregation.
Well, I mean, women in his congregation don't hold official positions of leadership. They are very much complementarians. And so, you know, they will say that women and men have equal roles, but the women's domain is the home and rearing children. And that's a godly position to uphold, because that was ordained by God. But yeah, the thing to me that was so striking was just that he would say these things blatantly out in the open, post the sermons online, and then he would be welcomed, you know, by these women at these political events. And so that incongruity really stuck out to me.
Well, and I think it has to be very troubling. I found this article on NPR.org. When Americans are asked to check a box indicating their religious affiliation, 28% now click none. So the amount of nuns in America, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, the number of Americans who have no religious affiliation continues to grow. And I'm certain that for groups like Matthew Chiarella's, that has to be very, very disturbing.
Yeah, one of the things that he talks about in his sermons and online is that he has 11 children. If each of his 11 children have 10 children, you know, you do the math, eventually he'll be able to sort of create a nation of God-fearing Christians. And so this is something that churches across the country, in particular sects, particular sects of Christianity, see as an existential threat, that, you know, this Christianity used to be the dominant religion in the country, and the number of non-affiliates is going up, and that that certainly creates a problem if your goal is to enforce Christian tradition and laws through the laws of the government.
Phoebe Petrovic has been our guest. She's got a terrific article on WPR called The Gospel of Matthew Truhella, How a Militant Anti-Abortion Activist is Now Influencing Republican Politics. We will get that up in our show notes. It takes about an hour for Greg to get those done. Thank you so very much, Phoebe. Really appreciate it. Hope to have you back again. Stay with us. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's what you want.